Hi, you're listening to the Raise the Vibe with Liz podcast. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. I interview today's inspirational speakers and healers. Thank you for listening to the show. Hello, and welcome back to Raise the Vibe with Liz. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to another season of Raise the Vibe with Liz. Thank you to everyone who's been listening and keeping track of all my interviews. Thank you so much for your listenership. I really appreciate you. And I want to jump in here today. I have Christina L. Woods joining me today. She's a hypnotherapist. I'm going to tell you all about her in a second. But with this new year, we all set resolutions, right? So what better way to start this season off than with a topic, a conversation about breaking beliefs, patterns, and programs that are stopping us from creating change, right? I mean, all of us look at the new year as a new start. So I'm super excited to be having this conversation with Christina. So a little bit about Christina to start off with. Christina is a clinical hypnotherapist, rapid transformational therapist, empowerment coach, and Reiki master. She combines her background in corporate leadership along with her life experiences in dealing with trauma and abandonment to empower other women to trust their intuition and set themselves free of self-doubt. As a CEO and founder, Christina has extensive experience working on complex challenges and pulling potential out of others so that they can become self-reliant individuals. Through this deep hypnotherapy and coaching work, she empowers women to shed old programming so they can live the life they deserve. She has been honing her intuition and spiritual energy practice throughout her entire life, and it is this experience, knowledge, and wisdom that she brings to every client during each session. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. It's so fabulous to have another woman present who wants to lift up and empower women. So that usually starts with a little awakening of our own, a little self-transformation of our own. And yeah. I saw that you were a CEO before, a 30-year career.
30-year corporate life, completely different than this life.
Yeah. So let's go all the way back from the beginning. What was your journey to where you sit right now?
Yeah. So, you know, even before that, I'm the oldest of four children and Italian single mom. And so, you know, I grew up in a home where I had a lot of responsibility at a very young age. And I learned very, very quickly, like many of us do, that if we are quote unquote, you know, perfect and quiet, and I intuitively, I also learned if I can control the chaos around me and sort of slide and glide through life, then, you know, it feels and it appears that things are pretty good. So very quickly, I learned how to have this life on the outside that seemed to make my life feel and be easier. So I got good grades and thought, okay, if I check that box, get the corporate job, I got married and had kids. And so, yeah, I had this corporate career where I had a lot of responsibilities. I had hundreds of people reporting to me, traveling, you know, every single week, all over, trying to be soccer mom and do all these things. And it all came crashing down when my immune system said, I don't think so. I was constantly stressed out. And as a people pleaser and someone who felt like, you know, yes, I can do it all and be all, because all of my validation came from my job and came from the outside. And, you know, that's how I felt good about myself. Even I was raised that way to believe, oh, you have that job, you better hang on to that job because you might not get another one, or, you know, just put your head down and work really hard. And, you know, that was what I heard growing up. So I thought, uh-oh, I better work 12 hours a day and not let this thing get, you know, I grew up in the 80s. So it was a completely different mindset. Don't talk about your kids. Don't do anything. Better not be a mom. And so that's what I did. And they could email me at midnight and say, we want a report on our desk by 6 a.m. And okay, I'm your girl, I'll do it. Wow. And, you know, my marriage fell apart almost 25 years. My health was collapsing. I wasn't happy. The bank account looked fine. Things on the outside looked fine. But I really started to realize that you know, why am I so happy and why do I, or unhappy, excuse me, and why do I feel always like, why do I feel bad? Why do I always feel like I'm a bad person, or I make bad choices, or why do I spend so much, or eat when I'm not happy, or why do I do these things? And I don't think I'm unusual. Now that I work with people in this field, I realize, you know, there's this little voice inside that was so much louder than I let it, than I realized, and I really didn't even listen to those parts of me. And so I left the corporate career after a lot of self-work and diving deep. I had the courage to do that. And I really wanted to work with other women. I've always had a spiritual interest, but to be honest, I never dove deep enough because I was scared to go deep. I was really scared to find out what I might find out. And when I did, I found out I needed to heal a lot of parts of me. And but when I did, I had the courage to say, you know what, I want to really work with other women, particularly that might feel the way that I feel, and empower them to know that it's not that scary. It takes some courage, but you know, when you get somebody to hold your hand, which I did and I still do, we can hold each other's hands and really change our lives. And now, you know, I get to see how my boys say, wow, mom, at 50, you changed everything. And yeah, you can do it at any time you want.
That's awesome. And I think a lot of people don't realize like that is a spiritual awakening when we wake up to, you know, the beliefs and programs that we've been living from. And then that often accompanies like a divorce or a huge change in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I did have a moment. I was outside, you know, pulling weeds in my pajamas on a Saturday morning. I was really exhausted. I'd been traveling. I was still married and pulling weeds. The boys didn't pick up, you know, the dog stuff out in the backyard or anything. And my husband at the time had come out and said he was going to go surfing. And I just remember feeling very lonely. Very like, is this it? Like, I'm exhausted. I'm cleaning up the dog stuff. It's the kid's dog. It's not even my dog. And, you know, I'm here alone in my pajamas. Here we go again. And I literally heard a voice. And, you know, it wasn't my intuition. It was a separate voice. And it knocked me just on the ground. And it said, when are you going to stop waiting for other people to make you happy and really do something that makes you happy? And I'll never forget it. I mean, I'm looking out the window, I could see the planter box. And it really was one of those moments, a pivotal moment when I said, this is it. I really need to make some tough decisions that I knew deep down I needed to do, but I was afraid. And that's when that's literally the day that I said, I need to make the tough decisions, make the tough calls. And I'll never forget the voice. I've heard it one or two times other than that. And certainly my intuition has enhanced and as I embrace it and trust it. But that was absolutely, obviously, a spiritual awakening that changed my life.
Wow, that's amazing. And what a gift to hear that voice. Mm-hmm. I know after my 20-year marriage post, I remember sitting there going, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, what brings me joy? And I think that's a question that a lot of women ask. And probably even men, you know, after they've lived a 20-year life doing X, Y, or Z, and then they come out of it and they're like, wait a minute, I've been sitting myself on the back burner all of these years. What do I even enjoy? Like, what brings me happiness? And that was one of the things that I stuck a post-it note up on my mirror in the bathroom, like, what brings me joy? And like telling myself, I'm gonna like just tap it in or put a little check mark or write it down in my journal. I felt joy today when I was doing X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. And, you know, a program, you know, you started off talking about programs, but a program that I had throughout my whole life was that, you know, fun. There wasn't really a lot of fun in my childhood. I had very small moments, but I really wasn't permitted to be a child for very long. I had, you know, a lot of responsibilities and silliness and playfulness was something, you know, I had very small moments of, but, you know, there were times, but it was really more of a serious tone. So playfulness and fun was literally something I had to relearn. And it's still to this day, I have to go and visit my little, you know, my inner child and say, okay, like I have to have moments where I really honor that and reprogram that because it was not my go-to default mode whatsoever. In fact, it was completely unsafe, and that was not my program. My safety program was to like, oh no, safe is not fun, or safe is, you know, fun is not safe. Get serious here, you know, suck it up, buttercup. And I think, you know, a lot of the clients that come to me, that's the same thing. It's like, put your head down and just go. And playfulness and joy and fun and relax and earning money can be fun. All these things, you know, we have to reprogram those sometimes.
And how do we do that, Christina? What is the process of really diving into ourselves and figuring out what are our programs?
Yeah, you know, obviously with hypnosis, I'll get into that. But, you know, first and foremost, it's looking at some of those patterns and finding out what are some of the patterns. And we don't necessarily need to know at first, you know, what are those limiting beliefs? Sometimes all we know is we don't like how we feel, right? We don't like how we feel. We don't like the pattern. Why do I always do this? Why do I always, you know, date people like that, or do this thing? Or because I want people to understand that it's not because you're lazy, or it's not because you don't have any willpower, or some of the things that we beat ourselves up about are limiting beliefs. And we all have them, whether we had trauma, whether we had a wonderful childhood or not so much. You can't go through life without some sort of limiting belief from the collective consciousness, or whether you believe in past lives, and you know, and many of your listeners probably do.
Yes.
We're going to have limiting beliefs. It's just part of life. And you know, you can't go to elementary school and not pick up a limiting belief somewhere on the playground. And so these limiting beliefs in our subconscious mind are 95% more powerful than our conscious mind. And yet, as humans walking around, we think our conscious mind is just in charge, and our analytical, logical mind, you know, is calling the shots. You know, that doesn't make sense. I'm a smart person. I would never do that. I know better. You know, these are things we tell ourselves. Even I tell myself, like, I know I should know better, but that's 5% of what drives us. So I think I just say that because it's important to remember. And what we do about our limiting beliefs is we got to find out what they are. What are those negative Nilly voices? What is the critical voice? What are the limiting beliefs? And in hypnosis, what we're able to do is quiet that conscious mind and really take a deep journey into your subconscious mind. And past life regression is a huge part of what I do. I get to do it, which is incredible, every day, and take a journey, whether it's in this life or a past life or an ancestor's life, and find out a belief that is still a driving force in our energy that's creating actions today. And what is that limiting belief? Once we find out the limiting belief, it's really an aha moment. But we have to then change the belief. But you got to find out the root of what it is first.
That makes me think of that picture that I've seen online several times of the iceberg, right? And you've got this little tip above the water and then this huge piece underneath, where we're just dealing with like the surface, literally the surface of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
All of these things functioning underneath the surface that most people aren't even aware of. So diving into that water, and I know I dream a lot about going underwater and being underwater. And that's our emotions, our emotional body, when you look at the subconscious mind through dream. So how do we dive down into the water of our subconscious and really unbury what these limiting beliefs are?
Yeah, well, I mean, meditation is a wonderful way to do that. But you're right, the iceberg is the perfect example. If we ever, you know, start beating ourselves up, just remember, 95% of how you feel and think and see yourself in the world and feel about things is under the water. And so, you know, hypnosis, other techniques are ways to get down under the water. And through hypnosis, through other methods, theta healing takes us into a theta brainwave, alpha theta brainwave, which is quieting the chitter chatter. But meditation is also another way, but it's really a place where you need to quiet the conscious mind and get into a deep meditative state or theta brainwave state. And I take clients on a journey with whatever challenge they have, and we really explore. And some of the methods I use, one of the methods is I'm a medical intuitive therapist, and that's a hypnotherapy method. But we go and we meet your divine intelligence or your divine medical guide, and we actually have that guide take us to meet your wounded self, and who can carry you and take you to meet and where is the root of this issue, and whether that wounded self is an inner child, an inner parent, someone, you know, a soul from another life, and show you pictures and images and life experiences and other people or situations and circumstances that will show you and unfold. So using my intuition, using your intuition, your higher guides, angels, whatever we need to use to take us on a journey to with that divine intelligence, they're guiding us. So there's many methods and different ways that we'll use, but it's really incredible to go that deep. And that's why I love using intuition and energy healing with hypnosis, because I just think the combination is so powerful. I mean, there's some methods I use, you know, where I'm not permitted to mix other modalities, and I don't. But when I can, I feel it's so powerful, because, you know, it's we are not just this physical being. So,
right. And we store everything in our bodies. And with that energy work, you're going in, you're being able to see with your intuition, like what's going on beyond the physical, and really uproot, you know, the source of what is happening or where it's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And muscle testing is a really also a wonderful way. And in theta healing, we do a lot of muscle testing. And that is a wonderful way to see if something is in this life, in another life, seven generations back, at a soul level. Because sometimes we'll clear things in this life, or even, you know, seven generations back, or, you know, your whatever level, and we'll muscle test and it's still not clear. It's like, okay, we need to go even deeper, even deeper. So that's something I really lean back on, because, you know, people will feel like, you know, they'll even call me on the first phone call and say, well, I already dealt with that issue. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I only want to work on this. I want to work on weight loss. I don't want to talk to you about my mom. And so, but you know, we've got layers of healing to do. And so, I don't want to talk about some of the things I've been healing for a long time either. And sometimes it's okay to put it on the back burner, but it's also okay to know that there are layers to healing, and you are exactly where you are meant to be right here and now. And then go even further and deeper. So,
oh, those layers and the stacking, right? And yeah. So often I find, you know, as we uncover these layers, we get to where, okay, this happened, you know, in my 20s, and this happened when I was a teenager, and this happened in elementary school. And then we have that first, you know, 7 years of our lives where we're in theta brainwave state, and we're just getting programmed the whole entire time.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. So I don't think, you know, and people don't realize, but with our subconscious mind, yeah, we're a little sponge until we're about seven, those theta brainwaves. And that's why children learn so much so quick. And they say, you know, teach them as many languages as they can during that time. And then when we get older, it's a lot harder to put in, you know, put in those tapes or whatever and try and learn another language. But those things that happen in those first 7 years, and then sort of, if you can imagine, a vault closes, and it's really just the meaning that is attached to those experiences. It's not necessarily always what we would perceive now as a traumatic experience, but it's the meaning that's attached. I know over the holidays, many of us, you know, might've sat next to a relative or a friend who were at, you know, at, grew up together, and we're looking at each other saying, you know, that's not what I remember from that event, or that's not what I remember on that vacation. That was not a great vacation to me, or that was wonderful. What are you talking about? Because we attach different meanings to that, or we didn't experience the same thing. We didn't feel the same thing. My brother and I are always saying, what are you talking about? You know, that's not how that went down. And we're entitled to our own meaning and interpretation of it. So it's the meaning that we attach. And when we go back into our subconscious mind, we literally are able to rewire and attach a different meaning. So we open the vault, we go back in, we find out what was the meaning attached to it, allow you to see it, understand it, have compassion for yourself, for the situation, more than you've ever, ever had, because you are looking at it now with fascination, with compassion, with understanding, with like, oh, now I understand. At that age, at that time, I see why I would have thought that. What that made sense then. But now I'm 35, now I'm 20, now I'm 55. And now I need to upgrade that meaning or that understanding. And we upgrade and rewire. And so every client gets a very custom audio recording to rewire in a new belief. And one of my teachers says it's never too late to upgrade or change your childhood, give it a new meaning, a new ending, which is really beautiful because we can do that now. We can rewire and change, and we give it a different interpretation, a new meaning. We heal and change and rewire, and we look at it differently and feel differently. May have still happened that way, but we can heal and change and look and feel differently about it.
Gosh, that's so true too. And sometimes it's just that shift in perspective, you know, that gives us a different emotion around an experience.
Really is.
Rewrite that.
And the people, right? The people maybe we've been angry at, the people we were blaming, we are able to see, I know in hypnosis many times, people are able to see, wow, I didn't understand at five. I didn't see the struggle that my dad was going through, my mom was going through. I was five. I just thought they were always late and they didn't care about me. But now I could see they were juggling three jobs, or they were doing this or that, or they weren't getting the support from, you know, one another that they needed. And now I understand that differently. And we can rewire and change the subconscious belief, because that will stay your belief until you change it. If we just go in and go peekaboo, let me look at it, and don't rewire and change the belief, and just go in hypnosis and look at it, it will stay that way. So I want to make that clear. We do need to change it. You can just go and visit things in hypnosis or in Theta, and or any experience. We do want to change it with either an audio or, and that's, it's beyond an affirmation. It's really listening to something 21, 30, even 60 days sometimes to change a belief.
Right. I find too, when we're diving into this, when we're having awareness, when we gain new perspective as we get older, I often see in my own life in particular and my clients that we can actually go back through our ancestral line and see where history has repeated itself. And not only am I or my clients experiencing this, but it was also in their families as well.
Oh yeah. Isn't that interesting? That's absolutely. Absolutely. And when you see that, it sort of just takes the weight and this load off of like, oh, it's not just me, you know, this healing, right? For healing generations and ending, right? Ending this ancestral lineage of whatever you're healing. It's really powerful.
I also find that the recovery from it or the healing from it is more rapid when you're able to see beyond your own experience, and there's seeing, okay, my mom experienced this and my grandmother experienced this, and there's this aha moment that happens, and this almost sometimes automatic healing that comes along with it, that okay, on to the next layer, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. And you know, even I don't even know if clients or people will say, they'll come back and they'll say, wow, so-and-so called me, or so-and-so's interacting with me differently. And I just had dinner with them, and before we never would have done that. And the ripple effect of the healing, and, you know, it's so exponential. And I'll say, yeah, that's the healing we're talking about. That's the effects of all of this work that you're doing. Like, wow, that's how it shows up.
Yeah, on an energetic level, I've had clients even go, "You'll never believe it. When I walked out the door, blah, 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 blah." Or I'm having a session with somebody and they bring something up and we go through a healing process and they're like, "Oh, so and so just texted me." You know, so energetically connected that it does ripple out through beyond what we're doing ourselves to affect our relationships.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's such a gift. I also want to go back, kind of reel it back again to limiting beliefs. Can you give some examples or maybe some stories around some limiting beliefs that people might be functioning out of and how to heal those?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. So, one of the most common, and I'm sure you with your clients and people will resonate is the I'm not enough limiting belief. Guilty all of us have this. Whether it's I'm not enough, I'm not smart enough, thin enough, rich enough, whatever it might be. And I have I'll change names and things, but I have a client who, when I'm not enough shows up, most clients will come to me for, maybe the obvious things in their life that they want more of. So it might be, hey, I want to advance in my work, or I want to a relationship or something like that. And then they'll have this ripple effect, like we just mentioned in our work. But I'm thinking of a client, and she was actually in a very narcissistic relationship, and she actually did not come to with me to get out of that narcissistic relationship. It was a very unhealthy, manipulative, but she was 100% financially reliant on this individual. But she really wanted to become empowered and just be more independent, but really couldn't see the manipulation or any of it. So we really started to work on her limiting beliefs, which really stemmed back from her childhood and as a young child not feeling enough when her father was absent, and just really not feeling important, and really also a big strong common belief, and you may find is when children feel different or anyone feels different. So I'm not enough, or I'm different, because when we feel different, we don't feel connected, and if we feel connected, we feel rejected. And no soul ever wants to feel disconnected. We it's a natural feeling, human need to feel connected and not rejected. So, that core limiting belief of if I feel different, especially as a child, I can't connect, I will be rejected. Or if I feel something isn't available to me. So many times people will say, people like me, that just we don't make that kind of money, or that just doesn't. Love isn't available to me. I've never been in love. It's never going to happen. It's just not available to me. Those types of things. But in her case, she always felt different because her dad was never around, and other kids always had a dad around. But she really felt she healed that area. And as she became more and more empowered, and we really built up the you are enough, you are enough. She built in a morning routine and journaled and started to really just grow this part of her. I'll never forget the moment she really started journaling, and it was just growing and growing inside of her. And again, this relationship, it just was too sensitive for her to bring up. All of a sudden, she started saying, this is a bunch of, you know what? I can't be in this relationship anymore. I was like, yay, she sees it now. And she just started to say, she goes, but I'm 100% financially responsible. But you know what? I'm gonna figure this out. And it was literally a matter of weeks, and she was out of the relationship and able to really. And now she's completely blossoming. She has her own business. It's growing. She's like a completely different person. And this is a matter of months. A completely different life. You know, found her own place. To so you know when you're completely financially responsible. Dependent to move out of that's big kudos, right?
Yeah,
That's
and
big.
that stops a lot of people from moving out of relationship.
It does. It says that it's real. I mean, we all understand that. So, but that's that seed of I'm not enough. So when you feel enough and you can grow that inside, to me, you can conquer the world because you begin to trust your own intuition. I'm enough. And we clear the cobwebs and we start to tune into ourself because we just become disconnected from ourself and source. And I feel like no matter what the limiting belief is, to me, the biggest thing that I try to do with clients is, all right, let's just all this noise and get you right back in touch with yourself and your intuition, your guiding force, your North Star, because you all have it. We all have it. And somewhere along the line, we just got off kilter and we tuned it out and we need to get right back to that. So yes, there's so many limiting beliefs, but tuning back into that is really important to me because I've lost sight of that on my journey, and my journey back was getting back in touch with that. So.
Yeah. Same. My journey's been, you know, a journey of getting back in touch with myself and becoming self-empowered and having a voice. I think that's really important. And that, you know, I'm going to say like radical self-love, where you get to a point where you're not going to stay and sacrifice and, what's the word I was looking for? Settle for that anymore. And you move forward in anything you find. At one point, anything is better than what was. When you finally open up, you know, you take off the blinders, you take off the rose-colored glasses, you start seeing life for what it actually was and stepping out of that and forward, you know, in your life.
And, you know, and another, a common limiting belief is also, when I mentioned something isn't available to me, and I'm thinking of a client who she wanted to earn a lot more money in her business, and she owns her own business, very successful. But she said, you know, I can't charge more in my business. That's just what everybody charges. It's just not going to happen. That's a max anyone can charge. And I was like, okay, well, we could get creative, we could think of other ways, you know, let's just let the universe guide us and be open-minded and, you know, let's just work with the energy here. Mm-hmm. And she was very adamant about it. Like, I'm like, what if there was a way? And eventually she became open-minded. She goes one day and she says, you'll never believe it. One of her big clients, she was on a retainer. She called them and said, I don't have time to work with you. I'm not going to work with you anymore. And it was a $10,000 a month client. She said, I have to let you go. And they said to her, we don't care if you only work with us an hour a month. We do not want to let you go. You're that valuable. Even if we can just call on you an hour a month or 2 hours a month, we want to keep you. And she's like, no, you didn't hear me. I don't have time to work with you. It's $10,000 a month. And they said, no, even if it's 5 hours or 1 hour, 1 hour a month, whatever, we just want you. And so she got, and I said, see, this is, we got to trust the universe. We'll figure out a way. You couldn't make this up. We couldn't have made this up. We don't need to know how. We just need to understand and feel the energy of this is possible, mm-hmm. and let the universe tell us how, and let them, you know, let them bring that to you. So, but you know, she was stuck in the how. I'm like, I don't know how, but let's just feel it. So
that's fantastic. What about when we step into self-sabotage though?
When we step into self-sabotage, absolutely. You know, in self-sabotage, one of the biggest things that we need to really first and foremost get back to is there's a big part, you know, and I'm always sensitive in bringing this back home, but as much as you don't want to do that thing, there is a part of you that wants to do that thing that you don't want to do. And so we got to get back down to what is that part that, you know, let's just say it's sabotage about not going to bed early and you want to get rest or eating or whatever it might be. We all have some, you know, a little bit of self-sabotage, but that thing you don't want to do, there's a piece and part of you that wants you to do it or doesn't want you to go to bed early. And you know, there's two voices, and the mind cannot have conflicting beliefs. They cancel one another out. So we just got to go in and find and talk to both of those parts, and find out what are these opposing parts. And I think they have a voice, they're important. And a lot of times they have a lot to tell us about. You know, sabotage can also be, you know, disassociation, disconnection, you know, not wanting to feel or be present. And so that's, you know, that's a big part of dealing with trauma or coping or reconnecting really to source or God or whatever you call it, or yourself. Absolutely. But oftentimes I will find with a lot of entrepreneurial women that I speak with, their sabotage might be, you know, they want to put on their CEO. I'm a go-getter boss woman. Oh, I'm a mom. Well, I'll be a crappy mom if I work. And if I work, you know, I'll be a vice versa. I can't be a boss if I'm going to be a mom. And so we've got to make the parts a promise a lot of times, like, hold on, I can be both. But if mom tries to show up, I know if the mom part of me tries to show up and run my business, she's going to do a terrible job. And if my CEO goes downstairs and tries to cook dinner for my kids, she's probably going to be bossy and not very patient and kind. So I need to make a promise to the parts that keeps them both happy, listens, is compassionate, so they don't sabotage one another. But if I don't listen to these parts and understand and even know they're there, then they're just going to cause a lot of chaos.
Mm-hmm. And if I've got a listener who's sitting there going, well, what if I don't know these opposing parts, and how do I work with them if I don't know?
Well, we do exercises and things to find out, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, we've got to find out, you know, who they are. We do exercises to find out who they are. If you want to do some things at home, the first thing you can do, journaling, is a big one. And I think one of the easiest prompts is, I write your name, Christina, feel blank because, just like when, and then start writing, and then ask yourself, how strong is the feeling, 1 out of 10? But ask yourself, is this feeling attached to approval, control, or safety? And start kind of getting a feel for, you know, where is this feeling coming from? Just like when, you'll be very surprised. You'll be what that feeling is attached to. Just like when I was 20 and my boss yelled at me, or just like when I was 16 and my boyfriend broke up with me, just like when I got divorced. And you'll start to see things connecting the dots. Also asking your feeling, how old are you? Feeling anger? Okay. Anger, how old are you? How old do you think I am? Well, I think you're 5. Really? You think I'm 5? I'm 55. Okay. You don't need to talk to anybody about this. Just journal. And if you don't like journaling, start journaling, even if it's 2 minutes a day, until you start to really start to express yourself, because there's power in writing, and it just really is a great way. But I do these exercises with clients. We do different archetypal work and exercises to really get these parts out.
Nice. If we're talking to people who have, you know, they've set their New Year's resolution, but all of a sudden, you know, the days are going by and they haven't quite done it, the weeks are starting to fade by, you know, like that procrastination sets in. How do we overcome procrastination?
So procrastination, again, is a fear of rejection, really deep down, fear of rejection. So, you know, the fear is something that we make up in our own minds. So I think first and foremost, there's probably a need in there to get really deep and compassionate towards yourself, lack of self-love, or maybe there's a dose of perfectionism in there, fear of not being good enough, or fear it has to be perfect, or some kind of fear of it not. If I do this thing, then I'm going to get judged by it. So with procrastination, and I'm a queen of procrastination. I should have a crown on my head for procrastination. I've lived my whole life dealing with procrastination. So procrastinators need a lot of compassion for themselves. So celebrate your wins. You know, we practice, we feel more of what we feel. So if you're practicing procrastination and then you feel, you know, lousy about yourself for procrastinating and you feel more lousy, then you're practicing feeling lousy. You're practicing, I didn't do it again. I didn't do it again. The way we feel more of what we feel is we celebrate our wins. We celebrate something that we did great. Even if it was 5% of what you wanted to do, first of all, you probably put, 80% too much on your schedule that day, because procrastinators tend to be overachiever people who put too much on the calendar. So put realistic things on your calendar, maybe three things that you really want to do that day, and break them down, and then celebrate your wins, even if it's a little win. Like, celebrate your wins, because you want to train your mind what a win feels like. And the more you celebrate a win, you're telling your mind that you show up for yourself over and over and over.
Oh, I love that. Celebrating the wins and telling our mind that we've showed up for ourselves. Like when you get to the gym or you do that meditation practice or you fix yourself that delicious meal, that healthy, delicious meal, celebrate the wins. I love that, Christina.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday I wanted to go on a 5-mile walk. I think I went on a 1.5-mile walk. I could have beat myself up, but instead I was like, I went on a 1.5-mile walk. You know what? It was better than sitting home on the couch, which is what I really wanted to do and watch Netflix, but I didn't. Went to the beach. I walked 1.5 miles. I threw some rocks and went to the tide pools. So I celebrated that. I got fresh air, and so instead of looking at what I didn't do, I celebrated what I did do.
Nice. I want to jump back into what you do, because you combine all of these techniques together. So what led you to combining these techniques, and how do you feel like they benefit us having that, kind of holistic? I kind of see it as like a holistic way of practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. So originally when I started doing this, obviously I bring my 30-year corporate experience and business acumen to everything that I do as well. But when I first started doing hypnotherapy, actually, I started getting really sick with all the energy. And I would run to the bathroom because the energy was so overwhelming. And so I instantly learned that I needed to learn Reiki to protect my energy. And because I thought, oh, great, I just left a 30-year career and now I get sick every time I do a session. Wow. So really the power of, being an empath and thinking I knew how to protect my energy and really finding out I was quite a guppy and needed to really work with energy and how incredibly powerful energy is. And so that's how I became a Reiki master. And, that alone just taught me, wow, how powerful it is. And when I learned that, it really just, inspired me to show others to, the power of their energy and move energy and in a session, clear their energy and help move their energy in combination of their limiting beliefs. And these other modalities are just fascinating to be able to just different ways to get to access our limiting beliefs and layers of ancestral healing. So I'm always going to keep learning and growing, and I'm constantly in a course or going on a retreat or learning something and seeking, knowledge and wisdom. And I love being in my 50s and having this wisdom now to share with other people. And it's just a really wonderful time in my life to have, these experiences and look back and yet still feel really fresh and exciting. But it's a combination when I feel and see energy that needs to move, I can say, hold on, we're going to do Reiki. I'm going to clear this energy. Nope. You know what? There's another limiting belief in here that we really need to get to the root of. We're going to stop doing that and jump on over here. So that's why it's great.
It's wonderful. And I love that you pointed out your own experience of when you were learning and doing the practice. And then, it was as you said, making you sick, right? And yeah. How did you overcome that? I remember having a same experience when I was going through my 4-year energy program where I'm working on someone and all of a sudden I'm getting really nauseous because as I'm running the energy, it's actually bumping up against my own blocks, you know, emotional blocks that I have in my body, and that process of clearing those blocks to be able to continue to do the work. And on top of that, being an energy sponge myself, you know, having that energy transference, because that's how my body, you know, reads other people's bodies, is feeling it myself as they feel it.
Yes.
And then learning how to allow that to pass through me instead of holding it on myself.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I thought I had that down and I didn't. I had to learn. I had to learn and practice, and luckily I did. And, you know, and you're always learning. I'm always learning new techniques and from wonderful healers like you and other people. And I just listened to your last episode. You had a wonderful angel healer that, I heard that was wonderful. I was like, she's awesome. You guys were just sharing wonderful things. So it's great.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, Christina. Yeah, that was a great podcast as well. Yeah. So when we're talking about hypnotherapy, a lot of people get nervous about hypnotherapy. So what would you say to someone who's a little bit hesitant and thinks about the people up on stage with the hypnosis at the fair?
Yes. My kids did that. Oh, you are the guy at the fair now. No, you know, hypnosis is a completely natural state. We all go into theta brain waves when we dream. In fact, even when we daydream. So when we drive and we're on the phone or listening to music and we pull up in our driveway or home and we don't remember if we stopped at that, you know, stop sign or the light because we were thinking about the grocery list or what we're going to make for dinner, our brain is going in these autopilot mode, which is these theta brain waves. So it's very, very natural. It's just in hypnosis, we're moving in that direction, you know, intentionally. So it's natural. We talk the entire time, which I don't think people realize, which I guess would make sense, but I don't think I realize that. You're not in some robotic zombie trance at all. They call it a trance, but that seems weird to me. You know, I don't think I want to be in a, some weird trance where, you know, you can't do anything. You move around. Even I've had people say, I got to go to the bathroom. Okay, go to the bathroom, come back. We get you back in. You're fine. You still hear the dog bark and the doorbell ring. You still, you know, are aware. It just feels very meditative and relaxed.
Great. Is there a way that we could do this ourselves?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there a process of self-hypnosis that would help if we find that we're having some difficulty in our lives and we really need something a little bit extra?
Yeah, absolutely. I teach self-hypnosis all the time. And every audio when I give a client, the beginning of it is they have to do self-hypnosis. So if I don't know if you put this on YouTube or what you do, but okay. So yeah, what they'll do, and you can do this before a meditation or maybe something that they're listening to that's powerful. But before, what you do is you roll your eyes up and take a few deep breaths. And then on the last breath, what you do is you keeping your eyes up, you just kind of close your eyelids down until they flutter like this, and then close your eyes, roll your eyes down. So you keep your eyes up like that and then just close your eyelids down. So you get that flutter and you're wanting to get the flutter. And I can always help your clients if they ever want to call me because it feels a little awkward at first. It's like when you're watching TV and your eyes are going do-do-do-do-do-do and they're fluttering down like that. But you're just, again, intentionally doing it. And that is triggering theta brain waves. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's quick.
Oh, that's a nice little trick, especially, you know, if you want to help, you know, use that little technique to kind of help you go deeper in meditation.
Exactly.
Wow. Because it's really like getting ourselves down into that theta brain wave, you know, where we're able to do that reprogramming with ourselves or, you know, go deeper in meditation.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I recommend it, obviously for the audios that I create, but like you said, for a meditation, or if you're having trouble sleeping and you want to listen to something. I do it at the dentist because I get anxiety. So I'll do that. And then imagine I'm going down the stairs to the beach or something, and it gets me in more of a that theta brainwave state. So dentist is a big one for people.
Yeah. And I've done that too, you know, where I'm sitting and I'm listening to a recorded tape. I have friends who do it. It's really beneficial. And I've even seen it with EMDR.
Yes.
If you're doing EMDR and listening, you know, to a tape, it's really beneficial and really healing. It kind of speeds up.
It does speed it up. It speeds it. Yeah.
Great. So rewiring limiting beliefs, hypnotherapy for breaking habits and beliefs. So what would you recommend for people who are trying to start something new and they're bumping into something? What can they do to push past, you know, whatever their limiting belief is or whatever their block is?
So a pivot exercise that I give people, you know, there's a deeper process if they really want to dive in and you know, find a coach or someone that helps them, of course, they can do that and really dig in and find out what the limiting belief is. And, you know, the kind of hypnotherapy I do is RTT, rapid transformational therapy. So it's fast, it's quick. It's usually a couple sessions, but a pivot exercise that was taught to me by a coach, and it's based in the Sedona method. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but, it's a wonderful pivot exercise to get us out of kind of a trigger or one of those kind of when we're stuck, like a sticky reoccurring feeling. Is whatever we're feeling or whatever we notice we're stuck in something, is to ask yourself that feeling. So if we're, you know, why am I procrastinating, or why am I holding off on asking for that raise or doing that project or something, is to ask yourself, does it feel like I am, you know, does that feel like a lack of or desire for approval, control, or safety? And whichever one that is, asking yourself, all right, let's say it's control or safety or whatnot. Okay, close your eyes and go back to a moment in the last 24 hours, day or two, where you felt control, approval, or safety. And it might have been a moment when you were petting the dog, at the beach, on a walk, looking at a tree. Doesn't have to be some, you know, big profound moment. And close your eyes and think of that moment. Let it move through your body. Let your cells, kind of like you're jumping in a pool and it just really absorbs your body. Let all your cells feel it. Let it blow through you like a gentle breeze. And the point and the purpose is to cellularly go back and feel what that feels like. Because if you can feel what control feels like, safety feels like, approval feels like, then think about that thing you want to do, you will feel more capable. You will definitely feel differently and look at it differently and go, okay, you will not feel on that scale whatever you felt before, because we get more of what we feel. And if we are feeling lack of approval, we go back to, oh, wow, my dog made me feel very approved of. And now my cells, because our cells have a carbon memory, we feel more approved of or safe or whatnot. Then we go and we look at it again. We can't help but feel more capable. So it's a very quick pivot exercise. I'm so grateful I was taught it, and I use it every day on myself. And you do it over and over and over until you feel even higher and higher up the scale of consciousness, until you feel like, okay, I got this.
Nice. I love that. I love that's a great pivot exercise. I know our listeners are really going to love that.
Yeah.
I want to kind of get a little bit deeper before we end. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to get to like the root causes of beliefs, like what causes us to be blocked and why we can't willpower ourselves out of it.
Okay. Well, we can't willpower ourselves out of it because the root cause and reason in your subconscious is not going to change unless you really, it's like a root. It's planted, it's rooted, stuck in there. So root causes are based in in emotions and trauma, and they are there to keep you safe. So a belief, your mind is rooted in something and creates a belief only and solely to keep you alive. And it doesn't care if you're right or wrong, good or bad, happy or sad, to be honest. And so those limiting beliefs we feel are preventing us from losing weight or having a great career, a, you know, great sex life or something. It doesn't really care about any of that. It's just here to keep us safe. So getting to the root so that you can pull up the root, find out, okay, I get why it was there. It's different now, or let me heal that and then reshape that belief and change it. That's how you fix it. It's just like you mow your lawn and cut the roots off at the top. Doesn't really do anything. They're still going to grow back. You have to dig up the root, respect why it was there. Look at it with fascination and compassion. Understand it was not there to ruin your life. It was there to keep you safe and keep you alive. It might not make sense, but it was there for a reason, and it had a good reason to be there. And when you can look at it with compassion and stop getting pissed off about it, then you'll get somewhere.
I love that, Christina. How can people work with you, Christina?
So my website is ChristinaLWoods.com, and I have Work With Me on there. I have a free download, hypno meditation on there as well, and lots of free things on there.
And you also have something that's upcoming, don't you?
Yeah, I have a wonderful fundraiser that I'm a part of. And it is it's a self-care summit called Renew and Reclaim. And it's got over 30 self-care, holistic healers, yoga, Pilates, hypnotherapy, of course, laughing therapist. It's just wellness therapist. It's got some celebrity keynote speakers. And it is all for a fundraiser for Lotus Rising International. It's for national traffic awareness for human trafficking. And it's on January 11th. And it's a ticket for $108. You get a year access to all these wellness holistic classes, over 30, like I said.
Wow.
And you can get a ticket at renewandreclaim.vfairs.com. I'll give you the link. Maybe you can put it in the show notes.
Perfect. I can do that for you.
Great.
And as we wrap up, Christina, what is a jewel of wisdom that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
You already have the answers within. You already have them. So tap into your wisdom, your intuition. You're so powerful. You can heal yourself.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christina. And your website one more time for people.
Christina L. Woods, ChristinaLWoods.com.
Awesome. Christina, thank you so much for being a guest with me on Raise the Vibe with Liz. I really appreciated this topic, and I know our listeners will too.
Thank you so much, Liz. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you everyone for joining us today. Again, this is Liz Peterson. This is Raise the Vibe with Liz, and you can find me at RaiseTheVibeWithLiz.com and on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year. And remember to get out there and raise the vibe. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening to today's show on Raise the Vibe with Liz. If you like this content and want to support me, please go to Patreon at Raise the Vibe with Liz or click the link in the description of this show. And remember, change starts with you. So get out there and raise the vibe. Thank you, everyone.